I am not a crook.
Hello and welcome to...
And welcome to Sci-Fi, where we're already laughing hysterically at each other.
Yes, today we're going to be covering Crooked by Austin Grossman.
Yes.
So, Kevin, did you want to give us a read from the back of the book?
I will.
Yes, but...
I don't know if I want to.
Did you want to?
I'm willing to. Okay. Award-winning novelist Austin Grossman reimagines the Cold War as an epic battle against the occult, waged by the ultimate American antihero, Richard Nixon. Richard Milhouse Nixon lived one of the most improbable lives of the 20th century. Our 37th president's political career spanned the button-down 50s, the Mad Men 60s, and the turbulent 70s. He faced down the Russians, the Chinese, and ultimately his own government. The man went from political mastermind to a national joke, sobbing in the Oval Office, leaving us with one burning question. How could he have lost it all? Here for the first time is the tale told in his own words. The terrifying supernatural secret he stumbled upon as a young man, the truth behind the Cold War, and the truth behind the Watergate cover-up. What if our nation's worst president was actually a pivotal figure caught in a desperate struggle between ordinary life and horrors from another reality? What if the man we call our worst president was, in truth, our greatest? In Crooked, Nixon finally reveals the secret history of modern American politics as only Austin Grossman could reimagine it. Combining Lovecraftian suspense, international intrigue, Russian honey traps, and a presidential marriage whose secrets and battles of attrition were their own heroic saga, Grossman's novel is a masterwork of alternative history, equal parts mesmerizing character study, and nail-biting Faustian thriller.
Excellent work, Kevin.
As usual.
As ever. Barry, what did you think?
Crooked made me want to return to my rare, red meat-eating, commie-hating John Wayne youth. And technically, I've given up on zero of those things.
Yeah, I thought that this was amazing. Although I would say, never say worst president. You know, I'm not saying that for any particular reason. Or
there's always room for improvement.
There's always room in either direction. But yeah, this reminded me a little bit of Tim Power's Declare, which is all about the Cold War from the perspective of sort of a shadow agent who is a bystander in the Kim Philby saga. So in this case, they're trying to keep most of established history without any change. This is a secret history. And secret histories have the remarkable property of being more convincing than the real history.
Right. They're completely plausible.
Exactly. Because everything in them makes more sense.
You're like, oh, that totally explains this totally bizarre thing. And as the book opens, you know, there's a quote that basically says, you know, no one's actually explained why they did the break-ins, right? You know,
right.
It's like, you know, that just seems like, why would they do that? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
exactly. And one of the things that I thought added a lot was we had a very good narrator for this one who... At first, I thought he was picked for his good Nixon impression, and he does a pretty good Nixon impression.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
That is also still remarkably listenable for a long period of time.
Right. And it could have been very comedic and irritating after a while, but it turned out well.
I was very worried that we were going to be listening to sort of Rich Little's, I am not a crook.
Yes, I'd forgotten that he did that.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, I thought that this was a lot of fun and weirdly an interesting way of learning about the nation's history.
Yeah, I was sort of embarrassed that there were certain like dates and chronologies that I didn't know as well as I thought I did. Like, I knew the different parts of it, it's like, I know this area on a map, I know that area, but I don't really know how they connect in between. And so it's like, I had known the things like the debate with Kennedy and stuff like that, but I'd kind of like forgotten the logical conclusion of like, oh, he didn't win after he was vice president immediately.
The one that I was most ashamed of is they started talking about Romney, and I thought, what? Mitt Romney is not that old. How is Romney involved in this? And it turned out it was his dad.
Oh.
I had no idea that he came from a political dynastic type of family.
Yeah, there's a long lineage there. Well, it goes back at least one or two generations.
Both his parents were involved in politics.
Yeah, and I really like the book. I actually found out about it because I had read the author's earlier book, You, which I really liked. I probably liked that book more, but that was more the subject matter.
It's all about you.
Yes, it's all about me.
I thought it was all about me.
So when this book came out, I almost got it immediately, and then I waffled long enough that, you know, we were able to read it for the show, but it turned out very well. Instead of some of the early reviews I had read kind of weren't very positive on them, but, you know, they're fools.
Clearly.
I actually thought that the beginning was a little bit stronger. Towards the end, I thought it was really going to go into high gear and explain a little bit more of the minutiae of exactly why Nixon did what he did.
Yeah, there were some parts that I either missed something when I blinked, or like I don't think they really explained even some of the Watergate stuff that they kind of talk about explaining.
Right.
More like they kind of said, well, there are reasons you could see, but we didn't go into the detail of exactly what it was.
But we can get into that in the discussion section.
Yeah. And the beginning, you know, dragged a little more, you know, it's like actual history stuff instead of like, you know, Lovecraftian horrors that I was looking for, but, you know.
I actually liked the beginning, you know, as a mm-hmm. California history buff, you know, it was sort of interesting to hear about him growing up on a lemon farm, whether or not that actually happened. I know they did grow up in Southern California.
Right.
And you know, where he went to college, as mentioned in the book, is the real place, Whittier College. And
yeah, I believe all of that is true. It would certainly be a very strange detail to invent.
Right. Let's invent this part of it, but not the...
This entire occult history would make sense if he grew up on a lemon farm.
It's all in the Wikipedia entry.
Come on, there's a lemon grab crossover there.
Is it unacceptable?
They did throw away all the lemons.
And thus the Candy Kingdom was born, and why we all live in Adventure Time.
Yay, finally.
Well, before we drift completely off the subject and possibly off of the surface of the earth.
Why limit it to just the earth?
Right.
Then it's time for us to stop and head for our discussion section. So we shall, I don't know, say our name, for we are Sci-Fi.
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 And welcome back to our discussion section, in which we shall tell you that in the end, Nixon resigned. Dun, dun, dun.
That's kind of a spoiler, but in fact, it's sort of an anti-spoiler because it actually happened, so.
That's the joke?
Yes, so we should have put it in our non-spoiler section. It would have been a spoiler if it turned out he didn't resign in this alternate
history. So much hate right now for my life.
I know.
We're trying to turn it into a renewable resource.
Give you reason to keep living.
I mean, if we globally replace the word Nixon with Trump and then try and accelerate time.
Well, I know that's part of the reason I picked it, you know, but yes. It'll make me feel better if I knew that he was actually working behind the scenes to stop Cthulhu, like, you know, destroying the universe or something.
Right. It could be that Trump is actually Nixon in disguise, just saying whatever it's necessary to get the sheep to reelect him.
He did say that he faked his own death, so.
Yes, makes perfect sense. Yeah, so did we have any favorite scenes to start off with?
You know, the one thing, maybe not a specific scene, but I did like the sort of group of scenes where they kind of discuss the sorcerer kings or the sorcerer presidents that, you know,
right.
I kind of like that version of history better.
Well, of course. Was it Washington was so powerful just by clapping his hands, he leveled buildings or something?
They just said, we don't think we ever saw Washington at his full power.
Right. Or, and like, he's not actually probably completely dead. There's like, you know, and they were talking about what the first ladies who were like still buried under the earth, like, you know, half living witches or something like that, kind of powering the magic somehow. And
exactly. My favorite was when they brought in Henry Kissinger and
he just turns out to actually be a 1,000-year-old sorcerer.
Yeah. It was a repeated phrase said over and over again. I'm not sure he was entirely human.
Right. And when Nixon was trying to get out from underneath, you know, him sort of controlling things.
Right.
He kind of brings him down and he's like, yep, we could start World War III right now, you know. And then he basically is like, you know, Nixon will become like, you know, an immortal god king, you know, whatever, and like, you know, and I will, you know, rule through, you know, with you or whatever.
Well, so check me if I'm right on this. My understanding is that Nixon becomes the VP and gradually starts to understand the occult nature of the United States presidency.
Right. Eisenhower kills, who was it? I forget now.
Khrushchev?
One of them, yeah. With
Soviet guy.
Yeah. The current leader, you know, with
Putin.
Yeah, I want to say Stalin, but
Putin is definitely a sorcerer.
He's like, oh, you thought you could kill me, huh? With poison? Whatever.
He's actually Rasputin, just shaved off the beard.
Yes, I've wrestled bears to the ground by myself, naked.
Nixon walks in when Eisenhower is, you know, going through and sort of like cursing all his enemies, and he's like going through a litany of like the 20 agents, some of which are supernatural beings that he's given authority to kind of like do their will against the, you know, the evil powers and stuff, and like, you know, may this person, you know, do good and, you know, not be discovered, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're basically like, you know, supernatural executive orders.
Right.
And some of this corresponds with the perception of America's glory days being under Eisenhower, when America just was having kind of a run of luck.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it was just after World War II. We basically won back-to-back world wars, and
right,
and then you know, we had our big economic boom of the 50s, and things were awesome. And
right, and so that's partially because in this world, Eisenhower had the full command of the presidency.
Right, he's like, you know, essentially bulletproof. You know, at one point they show Nixon like, you know, firing a gun at him, and it just sort of like bounces off or something, I forget. And like, but actually I did like the fact that later on, you know, they have the some kind of one of the moon, I forget, was it the Dark Side of the Moon one?
Oh, or, yeah.
And, I loved how they dealt with the whole, like, the people who were like, the moon landing was a fake. It's like, yeah, no, it was both.
Yeah, I kept on wondering, are they going to fake the moon landings? Are they going to fake the moon landings? And yeah, they have them about to land on the moon, and then there's a pyramid there. By the way, people have published pictures of pyramids that they claim are on the moon. By people, I mean lunatics. Ba-dum-bump.
Moonatics, is that what you said?
That's taking the joke kind of back.
Oh, God.
This is actually all a psychological experiment to see how much it would take to get Barry to kill two people.
Not much.
At this point, not very much at all.
Yes, so it turns out that Nixon is basically attacked by a demon that is kind of the embodiment of Russia somehow, or something like that.
That was the third Soviet agent, right?
Right.
I can't remember his name now.
Gregor,
yeah.
Yes. And
yeah, I did like, you know, moose and squirrel. Like, you know.
Yes. By the way, Nixon not only was a powerful sorcerer, but was also a Russian double agent.
Yes. I don't understand why you're referring back to actual historical facts.
Yeah, actually, I did like that first scene where he's, you know, he's trying to kind of further his political career by, you know, just sort of, you know, McCarthy Part Two or whatever, and like. Or
McCarthy
just
Park?
Part two, or just, you know.
Oh, McCarthy Part
right,
two.
The whole set of scenes where he's taking down Alger Hiss and
right,
and his little kind of, toady friend. And
he goes, you know, he kind of breaks into his house and he's looking around and finds the stuff. And then, you know, the two Russian agents show up. You know, I guess that was Gregor and what's the name of the other guy? Anyway, and they're like, you know, just, you know, we got our kit here. Just, you know, you're, you know, the power of the elected, right? You know, the blood of the elected.
Right.
You know, we can activate this thing by, you know, you just have to touch the circle, and he like flips out and doesn't do it. And then like, I forget exactly what happens, but, you know.
Gregor winds up sort of possessed by this force and kind of falls into it, and they try to kill him, but he doesn't actually. Right.
So is that what happens like for the rest of the book? Is that's why he's kind of that way?
Yes.
Is he's okay. So I guess I forgot that little right. twist there, but.
And because he flipped over there, Nixon is now a double agent and keeps on saying, oh, well, just I'll do this and then I'm out of it. Just like, you know, you do understand that spies don't just get to say, I stop now.
Yeah. It's not a one and done deal.
You know, yeah, so it's just like, okay, blackmailer, I'll pay you this money, but then I'm done.
They're like, oh, okay. we'll call it even for now.
Exactly.
I mean, that made the ending part interesting, where they were able to bring back in the agents who kind of knew about the magic and
Right.
I guess that was even interesting too, where they talked about sort of like the, you know, as far as the magic system goes, it's like when in America they had like broken the old covenant somehow. So like, you know, the magic from the old world didn't really work in the new world
right.
in the same way. And so they kind of like, you know, made their new agreements with whatever, with the land or something. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but that it was a totally different kind of wild magic, which I guess works for American history.
Yes. So my understanding of what the Watergate operation actually was a deliberate attempt by Nixon to bring down his presidency since he could not control Kissinger.
Was that it? Because I thought there was a mention that, well, okay, maybe I was reading too much into what I thought was going to happen, that I thought somehow they had said the DNC and Gregor or somebody was kind of running. Or was it that was the alternate faction, that it was like the hippies was one of the alternate, you know, I like right. how they brought that in too, where like the hippies were actually like, you know, the public face of like competing magical groups.
Right. The DNC and the hippies were sort of two aspects of the other side, which were actually represented by Pat Nixon, who apparently is super powered in some way herself.
Well right. So they kind of
said, Richard, I am a progressive, is what she said.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And that was, you know, I didn't, you know, catch that she was going to be that until pretty late. You know, I kind of guessed a little bit before, but it wasn't until like he went to see that the group of hippies trying to get out of Kissinger's control. You know, he went out to the like the Lincoln Memorial, whatever, and he's like, I got to help. And the hippie's like, oh, what do you want, man? Like, you know. And they're all like kind of berating him. And then one guy's like, oh, don't worry, we have someone on the inside. And I was like, oh, it must be his wife or something. Like, But I didn't really even guess until later on.
Right.
You know, because the whole time he's like, you wouldn't possibly understand, dear. And like, she's sort of like, he's like, I hate you even more now.
Yeah.
But
they never actually said, that was my biggest sort of disappointment in some ways, was I didn't think that they actually said why Watergate happened.
Well, they did say, part of it was at the very beginning of the book is about during the break-in and then at the end. So they kind of split up what's happening. And I think
that really doesn't answer my question at all.
I mean, maybe I'm making this up, but I had the impression that, you know, Pat and, you know, the Russian agents go there to fight, you know, an alternate faction, or they go there to fight Kissinger somehow. I don't think it, or maybe it was just Gregor, because Gregor was there, right?
Sure.
But yeah.
Are you guessing too? Or yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out where Kevin's going on this.
Well, no, I mean, they weren't, because they actually said at one point that they cleaned up all the damage, repaired it, and then made it look like a trivial break-in happened. So it wasn't like, if they wanted just to do this break-in thing, they could have.
Right, but then they deliberately stayed around and shone flashlights until somebody came and caught
right,
them.
Right, right. Well, that's what I mean. If they wanted to just do that, they could have just had the flashlight people go in, right? So they were there for another reason besides that.
Right. They went in, did something magical, and I was not clear on what it was
yeah,
the problem.
I think it was like a battle with something, but I was also unclear exactly about what happened.
I mean, I think one of the intended side effects of the Watergate break-in, you know, as we were saying earlier, was that he didn't really want to be in office anymore inside, right? He was tired of being like this, you know, powerful thing.
Well, I think he was sick of, I mean, he didn't want to be a spy. He was also right. trying to, I mean, it seemed also like, because at the end it says like he was the last American president sorcerer or something, right?
Right.
And so part of it seemed like he was doing stuff to kind of try to remove the obvious paths by which someone becomes a sorcerer as a president or something like that. It seemed like that was kind of an undercurrent maybe, but
I wasn't clear if that was the case. When Kent State happened, he sort of said, okay, that's it. Our own troops firing on our own citizens, that crossed a line.
Right.
And I think that was when he was trying to get rid of Kissinger. And Kissinger, of course, is just way too powerful, but derives his power from the covenant of the office. And so the right. only way that he could get rid of Kissinger was to take himself down as well.
Right. So that, I guess that makes sense. It seemed like it was sort of a multi-pronged kind of thing.
Right. The plot in there got a little bit too confusing because then Nixon disguised himself for some reason.
Yeah, like he wanted to be there anyway, even though they said don't come.
Right.
And then he shows up and that's when like he meets Gregor in the bathroom or something. And
right.
Gregor was like, I'm just going to kill you now. And I don't remember how he got out of it now, but he did somehow.
I think Pat suddenly showed up.
I don't remember. That was amusing that they had her be this like super powerful witch that...
I feel like we're under the influence of some sort of Lovecraftian, you know, mental disorder now.
Like, I don't think we're bright enough.
It's like, I can't remember what happened and I'm going crazy. I distinctly remember
the scene where he's in the bathroom of the hotel and he's like taking his shoes off so he won't make any noise to be heard. And right. He's about to brain that guy with the toilet tank lid. And...
oh, that's right. Because he could see in the dark.
Right. Yeah,
that was one of Nixon's special powers.
Yeah, right. that was kind of interesting. I could, you know, as usual, probably, you know, you have the same thing where it's like, oh, that'd be interesting. How would you do that in a role-playing game? It's like, you know, I mean, the president sorcerers or something like that.
And that would be interesting.
What powers do you get? You know, it's like,
let's roll on a random table.
It's like, okay, you like see in the dark. It's like, damn, this sucks. I want to be bulletproof.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting, too, how it's like they explain, well, that's why it's the Oval Office, because there's... two foci, right? And like, it's, you know, the president stands in one of the focus points and then someone else stands at the other one in order to make it so that no single person can sort of wield the magic or something.
Right.
You mean a check and a balance?
Something like that.
That sort of thinking is old fashioned. Old thinkers on belly feel.
Yes.
Belly. Thank you.
God.
All right. Did we have anything else we wanted to talk about?
I like the ending.
What did you like about the ending?
I like the ending where he's, you know, about to talk to all the children and
I forgot about that.
And he's like, listen, you little shits.
The interesting thing was I had to go back and double check that quite a few things actually happened. Like,
yeah, I was wondering, I had completely that must have happened, but I didn't know anything about that.
Like the "you won't have Nixon to kick around anymore" speech, I had heard about it, but I didn't realize how very, very bitter it was. I actually went back and read the text, and I was thinking, wow, somebody actually read this speech to a bunch of reporters and then was later elected to another office.
Sort of reminds me of Marion Barry.
Oh, yeah.
The D.C., you know, D.C. mayor who was essentially convicted of smoking crack and sleeping with prostitutes and,
mm-hmm.
and then was later again elected mayor of DC again after he gets out of jail.
He's like, what? I have experience.
I believe one of his campaign slogans was something like, you know exactly who you're voting for.
It's like the devil you know or whatever.
Yeah.
Rob Ford too, right? I mean,
sure.
That guy went completely off the rails.
Yeah, I actually think that a lot of what we think of as political wisdom actually isn't. You can recover from remarkable things, or even they can actually make you stronger.
I'm going to make Mexico build the wall.
Has been demonstrated and weaponized.
Yeah.
Fun. Yeah, towards the end, there was that, you know, fascinating moment where Nixon kept on sort of switching between this kind of badass sorcerer that has to sort of hide his light under a bushel and being just this grumpy guy. You know, every time he had to give sort of an even kind of a vague off-the-cuff speech, turned out he was terrible at it. And I think that was probably actually real.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think they captured Nixon pretty well. I mean, I think, you know, deep down inside, I think historically, I think he really wanted to do what was best for the country.
Sure.
It's just that things didn't always work out the way he wanted. Basically, I think he felt that it forced his hand into directions that he didn't really want to go. In terms of like the more, you know, the things that people remember about Nixon.
Well, this certainly gives us a far more human Nixon than the actual Nixon that we have, say, yes, from the Watergate tapes. And that was actually one of the things
sat around making these up.
Like. That sort of amused me because they used magical means to mess with people's voices and basically just came up with the entire Watergate tapes.
Like, yeah, they spent the weekend like drinking, like just recording every single one, like following a time, and okay, remember, this is after this happened, so make this other stuff up. And like,
right. And that's the other reason that it seemed that Nixon was working very hard to get himself ousted.
Right. And I actually, like you said, secret alternate histories can be very convincing, or they feel like compelling or They match because, you know, you write it to match the facts, but, you know, the stuff that doesn't quite make sense, like, why would someone do this or whatever, you just, you know, well, I have a really good reason because it's, you know, this other crazy backstory that somehow makes it make more sense.
Sometimes it's just because magic.
Right. And so, yeah, I did like some of the stuff they did, like, you know, they figured out how to use the Oval Office to activate the secret entrance. The mm-hmm. door magically appears, like, and they find the subterranean, you know, that goes into a cavern, you know, the subterranean, like, entrance that goes into the some, you know, cellar that goes into another cavern. And it's like, you know, all of the old president's, like, secret magical thing where it's like a mirror of the Oval Office, but it's like a magical version of it.
Right.
And I did kind of like, actually, I didn't completely grasp the full meaning that the author was going for, I think, with the whole, like, judicial branch. Like, they were, like, maybe a kind of competing magical force too somehow.
Right.
I guess checks and balances, but that he couldn't, like, he went over there to try to talk to them and he couldn't actually physically see them because they were on another plane or something than him now. Like, they had, like, diverged magically.
Right.
The building had disappeared too, right?
Yeah.
Right. It was like some weird future wasteland that he was in or something, like, when he tried to go over to the Supreme Court. And
right. And I wasn't entirely sure if that was just sort of the nature of things or if that was Kissinger just keeping him boxed in.
Yeah, I almost got the impression that it was the judicial branch was purposely, because they knew Kissinger was involved, and so they kind of purposely separated things so that he couldn't influence them somehow, or something along those lines. But
right,
so I did like that part, and again, some of the earlier magical descriptions of the earlier presidents, and like the desk that he had. I forget which desk he ended up with, but. You know, it's like he said there were three, you know, secret compartments in the desk. One of them, which if you put something in it, would disappear after a couple hours and, you know, it would go somewhere, but nobody ever figured out where.
They ended up in my dryer. Or they took a sock in exchange.
Yes. It is sort of interesting that I think Nixon is now a popular topic for being sort of rehabilitated in science fiction. I mean, in Doctor Who, they had the whole series of episodes where Nixon was a minor character and actually served a somewhat heroic role in The Impossible Astronaut.
Right. And I don't even remember how that happened, but I do remember there was some American crossover there.
All right. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about?
Probably.
Probably. Good.
Well, then we'll make sure that we stop the recording and then we can talk about it.
Sounds like a plan.
Yes. And I do, you know, maybe someday we will read You, his other book.
YOUEWEYEW.
Yes, it's YOW. And that sure hell, that makes Y-O-U. It really, really hard to search for that book anywhere. You type in, what's the title of the book? You. It's like, oh, this is a common word. And also whatever. It's not the name of a book, right? And yeah, it's really hard to find that unless you know the author, and then when you can't remember it, you're like,
what if you air quote it?
This is exciting.
Yes, it's
I'm
only
so glad we're talking about this.
Well, it's about whose how certain is worth.
All of this? Not mine.
Yes. Anyway, you could snip that out if you like.
Great. Well, until next time, we are Sci-Fi.
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 Yeah. I like things.
We are sometimes strong.
I am not a crook.